of you know that's the truth? How many of you know when you don't feel like nothing, He makes you feel like everything? I'm glad we're serving a God like that. Amen. A great person is one that can make somebody else feel great. I'm glad God is just that way. He makes us just feel great sometimes. Not in ourselves so much, but just when we get caught up in the Spirit in these services and the Spirit of the Lord begins to move, you just don't want to leave. You feel so good. Is that right? Somebody say praise the Lord. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Wednesday night. What a privilege it is to be in the house of God. Play it this time. Play it. Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you tonight. I got a feeling we're going to have some church here tonight. We're back at camp meeting. There's no reason not to have church, right? I'm going to let you be seated for just a little bit while we look at our prayer requests tonight. Sister Janet Kennedy wants us to remember you, Brother Eugene, in prayer. Really needs God to touch him. He doesn't like to dwell on the negative, but he is in really, really need of prayer tonight, just seeking a touch from the Lord. So we certainly want to pray for Brother Eugene, the Kennedy family, that the Lord would just be with our brother and give him healing in his body. Sister Martha Ann Johnson says to remember Sister Jan Winters. She desires prayer as she has pneumonia and a very bad cough, so we want to remember her tonight as we pray. Sister Kathy Higgins from Kansas says, please ask the church to pray for me. I'm scheduled for surgery on Wednesday. I guess that was today. Thank you for your help in this. I cherish your prayer, so let's remember her tonight as we pray that the Lord would be mindful. Mary Anthon sends this in to please pray for my husband, my son, and myself. The Lord knows all about the needs. She's asking that we would remember her and that family in prayer tonight. Brother Reese wants to thank the Lord for healing. He thanks all of you for your prayers, your cards, and the fruit basket that was sent to him. He praises the Lord for that, so thank you so much. Sister Brenda Harmon says Brother Don Harmon has fluid around his heart. They're asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight as we pray that the Lord would be mindful. I want to pray for Sister Christine Baker, very sick tonight, needs healing. Let's remember her tonight. Sister Trudy Weeb from seeking God's leadership and some special needs in her life. We'll just commit that need unto the Lord. Brother Danny Therese very, very bad pain. He had surgery, so we were asking that the Lord would be mindful of him tonight. Sister Bonnie Potter, severe pain in her knee at first assist, so we're asking that the Lord would be mindful of her. This is a prayer request. Brother Wes Willis would like to request prayer for his uncle. His uncle had befriended a little 14-year-old girl that helped take care of his pets and things around the house. She was having a rough time at home because her mother and father were having problems. Yesterday evening, she found Brother Wes's uncle's pistol, went outside and shot herself. She passed away at the hospital last night. Brother Wes and his family will be watching over his uncle, who is overwhelmed with extreme guilt and grief. Brother Wes wants everyone to know that he and his family, they're all okay. He's just very concerned about his uncle and his family dealing with this situation. He loves the Lord Jesus and his church family very much and would certainly appreciate all of your prayers. So we just want to take that need to the Lord. Ask God to be mindful of that situation. All the unspoken prayer requests tonight, if you have a need you'd like for this group to pray about. We know we're serving a wonderful risen Savior. Is that right? Amen. Certainly want to welcome back to our assembly. I think they were here over the weekend and I didn't hear you. Therefore, I didn't see you. But we're Brother Charlie and Sister Chevy Therese back in Johnson City to be with us in service. Brother Charlie, God bless you. Brother Charlie took a very, very nasty fall, been in a lot of pain, a lot of recovery, and you're doing better. Is that right? You're doing better. He said, thumbs up. All right. Praise the Lord. But we're certainly glad to have those folks back in our assembly. Just miss them so bad when they're not here. They're just a wonderful, wonderful addition to this assembly. All of you, you're just as important as anybody, too. We love our brothers and sisters, don't we? Do you love each other tonight? Amen. Let's stand. Brother Terry, why don't you come tonight, if you would. Just take these needs to the Lord. We just want to commit everything unto our Lord and Savior and ask Him to have His divine purpose in all these requests. Amen. Love you, buddy.
Praise the Lord. So happy we get to go to church one more time. Let's just join our faith together and you pray as I pray. And somebody will have faith and we'll see testimonies out of these prayer requests. Heavenly Father, first of all, we want to invite your presence, especially, Lord. And I think what Brother Bram said many times, he said, before we ask any petition, just thank the Lord for what he means to you. Well, Lord, that would take all night to even come close to explain and express what you mean to us, Lord. But just in a few words, we just so thankful for salvation. Thankful that you made a way for us. Thank you that you sent us a prophet. Thank you that you got us out of a blinded, lay out of sin condition. Thank you that you brought us out of Babylon. We got out of the chicken coop. Lord, there's so many things we can say. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. As Brother Donnie was even speaking Sunday, I archived the service and the little things that we take for granted, the air we breathe, Lord, the house, the roof over our head, the water, the sunshine, the rain, Lord, the clothes we wear, the food we eat. We're so blessed in America. Lord, let us never complain and be like those children of Israel who left Egypt and they complained in the wilderness, but yet they had manna, they had water, they had this, they had their clothes didn't wear out, they had a pillar of fire, they had a cloud, they had a prophet to lead them, they had all that they needed, but yet they complained. Lord, let us not complain, but let us be ever so thankful. Like the 10 lepers that was healed, only one returned back to give thanks. May we thank you, Lord. A lot of things we cannot do, but we can give you praise. Pray for each one of these requests. Lord, especially it's burden on my heart that uncle, the little girl found his gun and she committed this suicide. Lord, it's how the guilt upon him. Lord, I know it wasn't his fault, but how he feels. Comfort his heart somehow, some way. Lord, you're the only one that can amend that. And we just pray. And each one of these requests I hold in my hand. I know there's some very serious and some not so serious, but they all mean the same to you, Lord. And you're an ever-present help in a time of trouble. I pray, Lord, that you just anoint the speaker tonight. Give him the ever-present water from the rock. And Lord, as Brother Louis said, we're back in camp meeting. May we pull on the gift of God. May we say it's been good to be in the house of God. And truly, Lord, let it not be just a protracted meeting, just another service, just another Wednesday night. This could be the last service. This could be. It could be. It's between 6 and 9 somewhere around the world. This could be the last service. May we be prepared. May you help us be prepared. Lord, I didn't ever graduate from college, but this is one graduation I'm going to be at, and that's the translation of the body. We're so thankful for that. Bless all that's done and said. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us tonight in this service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming, we pray this service would be a blessing to those folks as well. I haven't heard where we're at on our youth banquet as far as sign-ups, as far as forms that's being taken and this and that. Our young people, are they responding the way they need to be? They are. That's great. Don't forget to, if you haven't filled out your form, please go to the library, get your form, fill it out. Take the appropriate action, and you get to come to the youth banquet, I believe, is on June the 24th, if I'm not mistaken. So remember that. Now, I'm going to let you be seated just for a second. Then we're going to stand back up. I want to say one thing tonight about our graduates. I think this year was the biggest year out of this assembly for high school graduates. I believe we had 14. And that's remarkable that we had 14 that goes to this assembly graduated from high school. Are any of you here tonight? If you are, stand up. Any graduates, stand up. God bless you. God bless you. Give them a nice hand tonight. You can be seated. Amen. We're certainly proud of you. This assembly just... we're just very proud of you. We're very thankful for your achievement. May God bless you as you find out what life is all about right now. I hope it don't hit you too hard. But we're so proud of you. God bless you. Now let's all stand. We're going to sing a song. Amen. We appreciate all of you. God bless you. And I think all of them have you received your Bibles, so that's a good thing. All of them got your Bibles, and well, just read it every day of your life. Brother Branham said, you want to get closer to God? Pray and read your Bible every day. It's a good way to get close to God in it. I would not be denied. Let's sing about it tonight. When pains of death seized on my soul, unto the Lord I cried. Oh, till Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied. No, I would not be denied. No, I would not be denied. Oh, till Jesus came and He made me whole, I would not be denied. Now I shake up in the days of, Satan.
Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord tonight, church. Hallelujah. You believe He's real tonight? Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated in a minute. Not yet, not yet, not yet, not yet. I'm going to let you be seated in a minute. I want Brother Harry to sing that verse. I love the way he sings it. Because you know what? In this hour, we press for our victory. Victory is not just something that just falls in your lap. God's give it to you, but you've got to fight every foot of the way to maintain your testimony, to maintain your victory. But I like this better than anything I could say here tonight. This thing is worth fighting for. This message is worth dying for. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give Him one more hand clap of praise tonight.
Thank you, buddy. Oh, Satan has said,
yes, he has.
My Lord is gone.
Yes, he did.
And he would not,
hear,
my prayer. But I'm going to praise the Lord.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
I said praise the Lord. This work is done. For Christ, the living Lord God, He is. He is here. But praise the Lord. The work is done. For Christ our Lord, He is here.
And I would not be denied. Oh, I would not be denied. Oh,
till Jesus came and made me whole.
Would not be denied.
I would not be denied. Oh, no. I would not be denied.
Oh,
till Jesus came and made me whole.
I would not be denied. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for singing so good tonight. You can be seated. Sister Sarah, come. Give her a nice hand as she comes to sing for you tonight.
Out on the waters, the storm raging high. The waters around them, they were troubled that night. Fear filled their hearts. They thought they would die. They failed to remember that the Master was nigh. He spoke the words, the winds all stood still. Even the waters obeyed His will. And He calmed their storms, just like He will mine. If I just remember that He lives deep inside. So why should I worry? Why should I fear? When this very same Jesus, He is always so near. He lives in my heart. He hears when I cry. I call on His name till the storm passes by. We read in the Bible how He walked with them, brought light to the darkness when the way grew so dim. How great it would be to have His footsteps in mine and walk with the Master all of the time. And when trials come and death seems so nigh, I'll call on the Master. I know He'll get there on time. And when sickness comes, my body's in pain, all I have to do is call on His name. So why should I worry? Why should I fear? When this very same Jesus, He is always so near. He lives in my heart. He hears when I cry. I call on His name till the storm passes by. Why should I worry? Why should we fear? When this very same Jesus, you know He's always so near. He lives in my heart. He hears when we cry. We'll call on His name till the storm passes by. Just call on His name till your storm passes by.
Amen. Just as Brother Donnie gets ready to come, bring us the word of the Lord tonight. Thank you for that song. It was really pretty. God bless you. Let's stand to our feet tonight. I'm so glad we've crossed over the line. Are you glad about it tonight? Amen. Let's see if we can sing that little chorus and verse again. I'm so glad. You got me the key? I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. Line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I've crossed over in time. Yes, now I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. Yes, now I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. That line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time.
Traveling along the back roads, headed in the wrong direction. Satan was sure he had my soul lost and bound.
Oh, yes.
Through God's love and mercy, His grace turned me around.
Yes,
I'm so glad I crossed over in time.
Oh, now I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. Oh, now I'm so glad
I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over time.
Praise the Lord. Go ahead and give the Lord a hand. He's worthy of it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 13. I'm glad we crossed, aren't you? And in time. In time. Amen. And of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, and for the deep that coucheth beneath. For the dew and for the deep. You see, a real Christian, dew don't bother them. Dew is shallow. It's very shallow stuff. It's right on top of the ground. But for a real consecrated Christian, they not only have dew, they have depth. Now watch, he said, for the dew and for the depth that coucheth beneath. The dew can be seen, can be felt. Anybody can be able to walk up and see it. But you know what? You never really know the depth that lays in an individual's being until all the things on the outside are removed and you go to finding out really what they are from the deep. And for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things that put forth by the moon. For the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon. Let's bow our heads together. How many like to be remembered tonight before the Lord? Amen. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. We are so, so blessed to be able to stand in this last day. Father, we appreciate the light of the Word of God. We are grateful when absolutely millions and millions of people are living in this day and walking under the glare of previous ages. And yet you, by your grace, have helped us to see the light of the evening time. And we are so thankful, for we know that glares can never ripen. And yet even we know and understand by the meaning of a glare that a glare is a bright, brilliant light. So a glare is not necessarily something that is deep or something that is so hard to see and hardly any light at all. But it is something that appears to be so brilliant and so luminous. But what makes it so devastating is that it's something that has been, not something that is. We're grateful for the light of this day. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll take the Word of God and speak to us. Even though what scriptures that we will read tonight, many of them happened thousands and thousands of years ago. If I preach them under the glare of another day, it will simply be a historical reminder of things that have been. But if I preach them under the illumination of the light of this hour, it will be as if though they were written this morning. And only you can take the word and make it do that. Speak to us tonight, Father, under the light of God, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. I think it must have been an awesome thing when we think about prophets and how that they were called by God and gifted by God to walk in a realm, in a sphere that very few people were ever privileged to do. They were able to hear the voice of God, see angelic beings, catch the influence of divine revelation, made in such a realm physically that their first conscience and subconscious, instead of being farther apart, it was like this, so they could go to sleep, as we would say, break into the realm of vision, look in the past tense of thousands of years, come up to the present, look forward to the future for thousands and thousands of years, and see things just like one scene folding into another. Be able to walk in great heavenly realms with God, and yet at the same time, it must have been so heartbreaking and heart-wrenching as they would go from one realm to another. from one spectrum of the high realities of God and come down to where people were living their lives that was so contrary to the Word. And these prophets would experience both worlds. They would hear the voice of God, see the angels of God, and when they would come out from under the influence of those visions, have to come down from the mountain where God had given the Word and see the idolatry of the people. What a realm that it must have been for them to be pulled to. It's no wonder that they were considered such neurotics and that they were considered such mystical nuts in the sense of mysticism because of where they live. They must have been very moody type of individuals because they, by the inspiration of God, would be able to say things that was unbeknownst to them. They didn't even have an inclination themselves many times of what they were saying because they were inspired of God and it was not their word. So it'd be like God taking them and speaking things through them. It was not their understanding. It was not their reasoning. God only used their vocal cords, pronounced the words, put the inspiration on it, and they would hear themselves as it was written down, or somebody was sitting there taking note of what they'd said, and they'd read it back and say, really, did that come out of my mouth? Oh my goodness, what could that mean? You imagine Isaiah saying, a virgin shall conceive. Maybe the Spirit of God upon him as he was writing it down. Or maybe it's somewhere there that was penning the words and he said, you want me to read this back to you? Sure. What did God say? A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. He said, what? Did I actually say that? Yes, you said by the sundial, I'll give you a son. I'll give you an everlasting son, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. And him shaking his head, oh my, what could that mean? How could that be? I don't understand it. I'm not sure how it could work out. You know why? It wasn't his words. It was God's words. Now here we see Moses as Moses is fixing to leave the scene. It's either this particular day, which he's giving the blessing to the 12 tribes, or the very next day, was under a 24-hour period, something like this, of this time frame. And what we see happening is actually the attraction is changing. Now, we know that God always does this, and this is what makes it so difficult for the people of the earth, how that God will begin to change the attraction from one attraction to another. Now, Moses has been the attraction, the anointed one, for many, many years now, but which God has spoken through him. Now, prophetically, Moses is setting forth the attraction by prophecy, by the revealed word. And remember, it will be an ongoing thing for many, many generations. Now, what he's going to say, part of it will happen in the near future. Part of it will be hundreds of years. And part of it will actually be thousands of years on down the road. But God is using his mouthpiece to speak the future attraction as it's going to change. Now, this has always been the difficult part when God will change from one attraction to another. That's where we are really right now in the message, and this is why many folks have a real difficult time. They don't have a hard time shouting about what God done 30 years ago or 20 years ago, but when you go to pointing to where the light is right now, a lot of the message folks get plumb mad at you. They get all upset. Why? Because the attraction has changed. You see, when John the Baptist had prophesied and said, there's one coming, there's one coming, there's one coming, I don't know who he is yet, but he's coming. But when he stands there and said, behold, the Lamb of God, the prophet said the attraction changed from the prophet to his prophecy. You understand the attraction, the revealed word of God, Malachi 4. Brother Branham has done fulfill his part. And this is where message folks get mad at you. Brother Branham, today is not the light of this hour in 2016. But the word made flesh is the light of the day. Jesus said about John the Baptist, John was a great and shining light. Jesus didn't say is, because John by this time was already gone off the scene. But Jesus place John categorically in the time frame that John should fit. Now, no doubt there's probably some of them in that day wanted John to have a continuing ministry and continue on even though he was already in the grave. But Jesus placed him positionally and said John was a great and shining light and you rejoice in his light for a season. But guess what? Now Jesus was the light. Well, praise the Lord. And the attraction had changed from the prophet to his prophecy.
prophecy. Now, whenever we see Elijah and Elisha, and we see Elijah grooming Elisha, God working on him, what do we see? We see a transitionary time when it's fixing, the attraction is fixing to change. It's going to change from Elijah to Elisha. And the church said, it's always been that way. When the Lord Jesus was here on the earth, he was the Word made flesh. Hang tight with me now. But he knew that the Word would not always be in his human flesh, but he knew that Paul in the future would write something like this: as the man is made in the image and the glory of God, so the woman is the glory of the man. The woman is the doxa, is the Greek word, or the splendor of the revealing of the image of the man. Now, Paul did not say that the woman was the image of the man, but he said she is the glory of the man. But yet you look at a woman, she probably can't lift as much as a man. Maybe she can't work as hard as a man. Maybe a man could outdo her in many different ways. Paul didn't say she was his strength. Paul didn't say she smelled like him. Paul didn't say she looked like him. But he said the woman was his doxa. You understand, the doxa and the glory of God through the ministry of the bride, that the glory of Christ, he chose to crown himself with who? His sweetheart, his wife. And you see, when the attraction changes, it's when it always becomes so difficult. And then Brother Brown tells us in the message, what is the attraction on the mouth? 7:25-65. He said, so what is the attraction? Right now, he said, the predestinated seed who can't do nothing else but just live out that word. Now, you imagine you're the prophet in the 6 months before he's going to be taken off the earth, and he does not refer to himself and say, what is the attraction? I am. What is the attraction? My ministry. What is the attraction? Branham Tabernacle. What is the attraction? But he says the attraction is the predestinated seed. Now you see, for the focus then, it must change. So God never uses glare. God uses light. Even though glare can be very, very brilliant, and it can seem as if though that it is a real light. Now your Moses is fixing to go off the scene, and the attraction is going to change. Now look at what a mighty attraction this was for many years. One man stands out there and stretches out his rod over the sea. The waves part back, the water walls up. What an attraction, was it not? One man standing there calling water out of a rock. One man standing there by the command of God doing all these great things. That was a wonderful, great attraction. But now the attraction was going to change. Now it's going to change, not to one man doing this, but it's going to be a body move under the direction of the Holy Ghost in type as Joshua. Was Joshua as great as Moses was? No, and he didn't want to be. Oh, Lord. Joshua never wanted to be like Moses. He knew he couldn't be. But yet Joshua knew God had given him a commission, and that was to lead the children of Israel to their rightful inheritance. So instead of you seeing a man standing up there with a rod in his hand, when you see the children of Israel get placed, you see this man and that man and that man and that man standing out there with a grub and hoe and a mattock and a shovel and a bunch of sheep and a bunch of hogs and a bunch of cows. And that was the image and the glory of God's promise. But, oh, hallelujah. Why the attraction had changed from this mighty prophet of God standing there with a rod in his hand until a bunch of people that was taking in their procession, enjoying their grapes, drinking the wine, enjoying the labor of their hand. Don't you understand, children, what a great thing it is? What good does it do for us to constantly rejoice over what Paul was, and over what Peter was, and over what God did through Brother Branham? I rejoice through all of that. But I want my hoe. I want my mattock. I want my well. I want my spring. I'm not worried about being like Brother Branham. That ain't my commission. That ain't my call. There's only one of them. There is not no Malachi 4.5. There's not no voice between the seventh angel. That's the last voice. You can be looking for another prophet if you want to. I ain't looking for a prophet. I'm looking for Jesus. I'm looking for the prophesier. Hallelujah. But the glory's fixing to change. The attraction is fixing to change. And it makes folks mad. So what is God using? God is using then the instrumentality of this prophet of God, and he's pronouncing by prophecy the blessing that is going to be on these tribes. Now notice, let's go back and see how Jacob said this about Joseph, and we'll parallel this together. He says, but his bow abode in strength. Genesis 49:24, and the arms of his hands were made strong. Now look at the symbolism that's conveyed in these prophetic words. Now Jacob, neither Jacob nor Moses comes right out and says what these things are. But it's hid under symbolism. It's hid under types and shadows. So he says, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Now he's been talking about Joseph and how that Joseph was shot at, how Joseph was persecuted, how they aimed their arrows, and it would seem as if so that Joseph was shot at by bows and arrows, and then Joseph took his bow and shot back as well. And he did. But he didn't use the same kind of arrows. Look at the word bow. Kehesh. Bow for hunting or battle, or figurative of might, or a rain bow. So Joseph used his bow. But he never shot arrows of jealousy. He never shot arrows of revenge. His arrows were forgiveness, temperance, love, kindness, because he was under a rainbow covenant with a coat of many colors. Now, do we as the people of God, when people do evil against us, what does our covenant say? When they smack you, smack them back. Is that what the Bible says? Really? Why do we do it? If people talk about you, then talk about them. If they write a half a page about you on Facebook, write 2.5 back about them. No, it's not, is it? No, not at all. Notice now, but his bow abode in strength. Now, the other people's bow would abide in their ability. Now, I hunt with a bow and I shoot a bow. So I know that in shooting a bow, of course, a compound bow is quite a bit different than what they used in that day. But we read about some of these men, how great they were, how they could throw rocks and all that they could do. And I know from shooting a bow myself that probably pretty much the range of a compound bow, unless you shoot something with a Pearson or PSA or something that comes up around 110 pounds. 70, 80 yards is a very long shot. Very long shot with a bow. Now, I've got a crossbow that I feel very comfortable in shooting that range at and have done so. But because of the velocity and the way the arrow flies out of the string and the way that it comes up and rises and falls back down to the target, you have got to hold that thing so carefully and so precise, because if you move just a little bit, if you flinch when you release, and this is why those of you that understand a little bit about the bow, you'll want to try to have an anchor point to where you'll release the same, exactly the same place every time. So for you sisters that don't understand, maybe you brothers that don't hunt, they'll put a mechanism on the string up here called a kisser button. That little kisser button fits right here in your mouth the same place every time, because if not, you'll be hitting all over that target. So you're here part of the time, you're there part of the time, so you're shooting the size of a boxcar, which if you you got deer that size, that's quite all right. But if they're the size we got them, the boxcar target won't work. So what do you do? Then it's by your ability, more precise, more accurate. So no matter how good your bow is, how wonderful your sight, your string, everything's tuned in, but a lot of your accuracy is based upon what? Upon you and upon your ability to hit the same thing over and over again. And if you don't, guess what? You're not going to be able to do it. But notice the way the prophecy involves about Joseph, that his bow was not aligned by his kisser button. His bow was not aligned because he shot over and over and over and over because of his strength. His bow was being able to hit the target consistently because of the strength of another. Oh, glory. Oh, hallelujah. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Now notice, whenever Jacob says this, he does not say the mighty God of Israel. But he says the mighty God of Jacob, the unregenerate flesh man. Now the soul needs the mighty God. And we know that Jacob, of course, worshipped and built an altar. And he called the name of it El Elohi Israel. Now that was the spiritual man, the prodigal as we can call him, to where he was able to approach God by divine revelation. And knowing that God to El Elohi Israel was the Elohim that was able to administer to the spiritual man. But he knew he was still unregenerate. And he knew there was a part about himself that needed the administration of the mighty God of Jacob. The mighty God which not only ministered to the CG, but the mighty God which was the priest of understanding, which could be able to deal with Jacob in his shortcomings. Oh, I'm so glad today I've got that same priest. What about you? Now notice he says his bow abode in strength and his arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God. So he repelled not by force. He won not by force or not by, I'm good at this. I can do this. I can do this. I practice. I'm this. I'm that. Friends, I'm afraid so many of us fight our battles by I pray this and I've done that and I've got so much faith and I'm so strong and I can do this and that. I don't want that in my life. I want to do everything I'm supposed to do, but I want to know that my arms are made strong by the mighty God of Jacob. Oh, I want to read. I want to pray. I want to study. I want to apply myself, but I never want to give praise and honor for one victory in my life and say, well, I've done this, and it was my faithfulness, it was my understanding, it was my ability. No, let it come back to the mighty God of Donnie. Are y'all afraid to call him your mighty God? The mighty God of Daryl? The mighty God of... Come on now, you're afraid to say the mighty God of Rob? Mama, his bow by which he opposed his enemies. Now remember, part of his enemies was his brothers. You see, people that do this sort of thing, they expect us to retaliate in the same way they do. Which is one of the reasons I refuse to. I refuse myself to come down on a level and act unchristian-like. I'm a prince. And I'm going to act like one. Come on. I am a priest. I am a king. Well, glory. Well, I'm sorry if that chokes you. If it does, I'm going to say it again. I am a prince. I am a king. I am a priest after the order of Melchizedek. It's unbecoming for me to act like Laodicea. It's unbecoming for me to get even and try to get back at people. That's beneath me. So you imagine... Joseph takes his bow. He knocks his arrow. And he pulls it back at full draw. And he releases. But his arrows are patience and forgiveness and kindness and mercy. Don't you sit there and look at me and like you can do that on your own. I was so amazed when I looked at this word. His bow abode in strength. Look at this word. Perpetual, constant, perennial, ever-flowing, permanent, enduring. Which left all of us out. Well, glory. Amen. Perpetual? Yeah, right. When you're well, maybe. When all your bills are paid up and everything is going good. Wherever this source was, it was the same all the time. Amen. The rain didn't affect it. The sun didn't affect it. The snow didn't affect it. People for you, people against you. It didn't affect it at all. It was the same. It just flowed right on in perpetual continuance. Amen. But his bow abode in strength. Oh, my. In strength. So his arm. arms, it was an extension of this power and influence. Now, can you imagine that his bow was not strength. His arms was not strength, but his bow abode in strength. This was the secret of his life. This was the keeping ability of his bow. Notice how Moses or Jacob said that it was Joseph's bow. It was his bow. But the key was where the bow itself abode. It abode in a perpetual, constant place of strength. Instead of Joseph looking at himself, I'll do this and I'll do that. I can always depend on Daddy. It's a good thing his revelation was not depending on Daddy. He was going to have to spend many, many years away from Daddy, and Daddy thought he was dead. But you know what? Joseph was still strong when he wasn't around Daddy, and he wasn't around Mama, and he wasn't around his brothers. Why? It's the place where his bow was. Oh my. You imagine he didn't have one enemy, but he had one kind, his brothers who hated him and were jealous. He had another kind which was a seductress, a temptress. He had other kind that was after this and that and the other, and he would overcome this when he come through the thing of his brothers. Notice that trial, when he accomplished that phase of his trial, he didn't have to deal with his brothers again for years. Why? He overcome through the place of his bow. His bow abode in strength. Even down in the well, when his brothers had thrown him down there and him screaming out of there like a child begging for mercy, and his brothers sold him to the Ishmaelites and they take him down to the land of Egypt, God must have considered his attitude a victory. Why? Because he didn't have to send him right back down in the well again and again. Are we ever going to get tired of these wells? Some of you all look like a water bucket. You're just up and down and beat and bang and thrash on the same well. Come on, children. Let's overcome these wells. Let's go to Egypt so we can conquer Egypt and come back out. Remember this. He who fights for God never fights without God. Lord, I feel like taking a spell. He who fights for God never fights without God. Boy, sometimes you may fight by yourself, it seems like. Your mama may turn, your daddy may turn, some of your closest friends, but if you're fighting for God, you'll never fight alone. Glory be to God. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice, but his bow abode in strength. And the arms of his hands were made strong. Look at the meaning of this word. Agile, supple, nimble, show agility. His conquering power was his ability to be agile, flexible. In other words, he wasn't stubborn, hard-headed, set in his own ways. Praise the Lord. You mean the strength of this man. Now look how that Jacob says that his hands were made strong. His hands were not made firm, which is the very opposite of shooting archery. You want your hand to be as steady as possible. You don't want your muscles flexing. You don't want no nimble fingers. You got arthritis in your hand. You just can't hardly do it. But the way to shoot this kind of bow is be loose. Agile. You know, light on your feet. Just float. Flexible. Bendable. I met some folks in the message and they think the only way they can be taught anything is through the school of hard knocks. That's true if your head is like a piece of granite. But if your heart has been touched by the Holy Ghost, the stronger you get in God, the more supple your will becomes. Then it's not a hard-headedness. I've learned so many things in my life by watching. watching others and hearing the experience of others, that had I not submitted myself to what I learned from them, I would have had to went through that school of hard knocks myself. But you know what? If I can pass that school by learning from you, I'll pass that school of hard knocks. I'm not so stubborn and hard. Well, that's the way I am. Then you need to change. We're stronger and stronger, not by becoming more stubborn and hard-headed, and God has to beat the fire out of us, but our strength is displayed greater and greater. The more supple, the more bendable, the more flexible that we are in the hands of God. And God says, your strength, you are made strong when you're weak. And my strength is made perfect through your weaknesses. So you're standing there like this. Stubborn, hard here. Don't move. I'll knock that fly off your nose. Bless God. I'll tell you one thing. Hallelujah. Uh-oh. You ever got your diploma yet? Oh, my. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made supple, nimble, and shown agility by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. The scripture says he teaches our fingers to fight and our hands to war. But is it always with rocks? It always with human strength? Or is it, Brother Jim's submission? Crushing us, breaking us. When I first heard Brother Brim say it years ago back in the 50s, and I've listened to it many times thereafter, and he said, Lord, you've broken my heart over and over again, and I thank you for it. And you think, what could that be but out of pain, out of suffering, out of sorrow, out of despair? Why do you think those cross-eyed children, not one of them, not one of them, would ever walk off the platform not being healed? Why? Because that prophet remembered seeing his baby girl down there with her eyes crossed. That dumb devil. He may have tried to do that to torment. Brother Branham, you imagine the torment that it was for years and years. But how many times did that cross-eyed devil pay the price because of what he done? It's the same way with you and I. When we get down and weary, and my, we got a situation going on in our life, and God delivers us, and we hear a prayer request turned in very similar to your need, and you say, oh Lord, I know how that feels. God, be merciful, dumb devil. Now you've got a wounded saint going right back. They're not going to just pray with faith. They're going to pray with passion. They're going to pray with compassion because they feel that need. Their hand is made strong by agility, flexing and building, molded and shaped in the hand of the Maker. Oh my, his bow, a bow in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Now Joseph was quite a character. We know he's a very great, outstanding man. But isn't it amazing when Jacob goes to prophetically describe these things that's going to be given? It's not all just attributed to what Joseph done as a man. It was Joseph's ability to surrender. Oh my. His humanity needed such a God as this. So does mine. I'm going to preach to the Lord this weekend, but I'm going to tap on a little bit tonight. God don't want us just to be sons and daughters from our souls. The first man in the Garden of Eden was not just a son of God in theophany. He was not just a son of God in expression of the attribute. He was a son of God in flesh. The redemption of this earth is not so your soul, so your soul will be a better soul. It is so your body can become a full-fledged son. Praise the Lord. Tonight there's one element about me that's a son of God. That's my seed gene. The other two elements about me, my human spirit. My spirit will break up when I die. I won't need it in the theophany. I should have had a seed gene of theophany, glorified body. But since I come by sixth birth, I got a seed gene which was there embedded in my soul. I got a human spirit which will break up when I die. And I got stuck with this kind of a body. But when I leave this world, if I go by the way of the grave, I will take, hallelujah, I will take my seed gene. It will become immersed into my theophany. And when the resurrection takes place, my theophany, my seed gene will call my body back from the dust of the earth. I will be son, son, son. Yes. Hallelujah to God. From my soul, from my theophany, from my glorified body. Hallelujah. Oh my. Notice he said his bow abode in strength in the arms of his hands. Isn't that strange the way he says this? The arms of his hands instead of the hands of his arms. It's backwards. We would put the hands on the ends of the arms. And we would make it, you know, in the way that we think, which is generally backwards. And the arms of his hands, not the hands of his arms, but the arms of his hands. Where is the most strength lays? Here or there? Where's your strength lay? Well, I do this and I do that. That's your little old flimsy fingers. That's you, the hands. But your real strength is right here. Look through the Old Testament and see how God said, the arm of the Lord, the arm of the Lord, the arm of the Lord, the arm of the Lord. Sure, look at it more and more again. The strength of God, the salvation of God come through what part of his body? The arm. The arms and the shoulders is where it's attached to. That's the strength. So he says the arms of his hands, putting what? The strength above the humanity. Oh, thank you, Lord. The arms of his hands were made strong. Notice now. By the hands, the arms of his hands were made strong, not by the hands of the mighty God, but the arms of the mighty God. The mighty God of Jacob. Wow, Jacob, this is quite personal, isn't it? You mean you are actually going to call God your God? Friends, do you understand this is part of the central focus of the bride realizing who she is? Elisha said at one time, where is the Lord God of Elijah? But after he found out where he was, he didn't need to ask no more. Praise the Lord. Well, where's the God of Brother Brandon? Where's the God of my grandma? Where's the God of my grandpa? Get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, get on fire, and get drunk, and stay drunk every day of your life with the Spirit of God, and you'll quit saying, where's the God of Pappy? Where's the God of Mama? Where's the God of Grandma? You say, I know where he is. He's living right here. He's embodied in my temple. Amen. I know where that king is. He's right here. The mighty God of Donnie. I know. It chokes you to death, don't it? Why is it you can say the mighty God of Jacob and never stutter? You can say the mighty God of Joseph and the mighty God of Brother Branham. But to put your name with his. Glory to God. Glory. Did you say it, Brother Dale? Praise the Lord. Last week, Brother Darrell was out in New Mexico preaching, and his back went out on him. And my texted me in the afternoon and said, Brother Darrell, pray for him. I can't even walk. Can't even hardly standing up sideways. He was, and I got a picture seen of him. He was laying on the floor, flat on his back, with his feet and legs upon a couch. Couldn't even walk. Supposed to preach that night. We had prayer for him, began to just believe God, and he contacted some other brothers, walking sideways. Some of the saints from here was there and seen him. And one of the sisters said she broke out crying whenever she saw it. But he got up and greeted the people, started reading the scripture. And he felt something touch him on the back, and he thought somebody come behind him. He turned around, there wasn't nobody there. Oh, glory! What was it? It wasn't the mighty God of Jacob. It was not just the the mighty God of Joseph. It was the mighty God of Dale Ward. Amen.
He didn't need a historical God. He needed a God of last week. Let me tell you something. Whatever you need tonight, that mighty God is right here. Right here among the saints of God to bless you and you and you and you and you. If you'll let it be your God.
My old grandma was here. My old grandpa was here. He could pray for me. Wake up! That's a mighty God. Be your God. Humanity still needs a mighty God. Any of y'all ever get weary and depressed and sad and lonely? You need a puny God then or a mighty one? It's easy to go to the doctor and let him write you a script and get higher than a kite. Come on! We got Christians around this message are so hung up on drugs. Addicted to painkillers and pain meds. I am too. The man comes from a different drugstore. Walgreens don't have what I'm addicted to. Rite Aid can't write me a script for what I need. Mine comes from the mighty God of Jacob, the mighty God of Elijah, the mighty God of Malachi 4, and my mighty God. His bow abode in strength and the arms of his hands were made pliable, bendable by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. You see, Jacob had already made reference to the Lord in many different names. He called him the God who shepherded me, or the God who looked after me. That's in Genesis 48:15. Jacob himself was a shepherd, so he knew what it took to be a shepherd. You notice he says he was the mighty God of Jacob, thence the shepherd and the stone of Israel. You see, Jacob still needed a shepherd. Israel needed a revelation. My soul ain't been sick a day since I got the Holy Ghost. My soul ain't been weary one time since I got born again. And it won't be weary if I live 1,000 years. But my body gets weary. My body gets tired. It gets worn out just like yours does. I love the attributes of God, how they administer. You know, some preachers just want to preach it so high that if you go through any battles, you ain't got the Holy Ghost. That's a lie. Amen. Your flesh ain't got the Holy Ghost. I don't care how much your soul's got it. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you still need to understand he knows that about you. Amen. Notice this in Psalms 80, verse 1. To the chief musician upon Shohath-Medus, a psalm of Asaph, give ear. O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Psalms 100 verse 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people. Amen. And the sheep of his pasture. Isaiah 40:11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. And it all culminates in the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus, of course, in St. John 10. So Jacob can relate now that Joseph is going to get this blessful benediction of the shepherding love of Elohim. Notice he says, fence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Of course, rock is a familiar image of God, may known as spiritual symbols. In Deuteronomy 32:3, I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe you greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. God don't make no junk. God don't come from China. Praise the Lord. Now, in order to be able to make profits for our companies here in America, you know how all that works. And you used to be made in Minnesota and made in Bismarck and made over here and made over there. You don't have to look at stuff anymore to figure where it's made at. And it's made so it'll tear up so you can buy more of them and spend more money and get less quality. But God still come from the exact same place. Come from eternity, made from eternity, and will return to eternity. None of them come from the Shanghai department. None of them come from Quinzhou. None of them come from here and there and the other. But they all come from the same place, and they're going back to the same place by the glory of God. His work is perfect, and he will produce a perfect bride. Not me, not the rest of these preachers. God will. Exactly. 1 Samuel 2:2. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. 2 Samuel 22:2, and he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress. Notice, not ours. He is mine. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He, amen. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou anointest my head with oil. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. 23rd Psalm is a revelation of you, not the flock. You and your shepherd. Notice in verse 25, he says, even by the God of thy father. The God of thy father, who shall keep thee. By the Almighty. Notice the names of God now, inclusive in the blessing of Joseph, that is not mentioned quite in this way with the rest of the tribes. And you know people were then like they are now. People compare blessings. Some of us have got jealous of one another. This one gets to preach more, and that one gets to preach longer, and this one gets to sing more than that one does. And you know how humans are. Oh my goodness, I thought I was preaching to a bunch of humans. I must be preaching to angels or robots or something. Y'all act like you didn't know what I was talking about when I said that. Could Moses be blamed for this? No doubt some of them probably did. But it's actually God who said this. It wasn't Moses or Jacob either. It was inspiration. Even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above. Amen. Blessings of the deep that lieth under. Blessings of the breast and of the womb. It sounds like to me that no matter which way they go, they're going to be blessed. Before they ever get up in the morning and even start taking their spiritual mattock and digging around the promises of God, they find blessings right on the front porch. They just step right off the front porch and there's dew all over the ground. There's dew out on their maters and cabbages and peanuts and everything out there. Everywhere they look is dew. Oh man, you imagine maybe some of the other lands, and it was a fact that in some of the other parts of Israel, they never got dew like Ephraim and Manasseh did. Why? It was their allotment given to them divinely by the presence of God. Because they had a father whose character matched the word, and they are receiving the benefits because of the character of their patriarchal father. Lord have mercy, don't you understand me and why it's so important for you to instill the right things in your children? Notice how God, through Jacob, says this. Who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above? Rain, dew, clouds when you need it. Maybe a thunderstorm every now and then. In the silent times when there's no thunder, the dew will condense and come from the heavens. Now he goes from that extreme up in the heavens above, and he said, blessings of the deep that lieth under. Part of the blessings are going to come from above in heaven. Part of the blessings are in their inheritance itself, in their own land. The gold may not jump out, and the silver may not jump out. They may have to dig a little bit. You see, part of the blessings of God come to us from the heavens when we don't even deserve it, when we've not done anything for it. Other times the blessings of God are right underneath your front porch, but you got to do some digging to find it. But all of us love heavenly blessings better, don't we? Well, I'm going to go out and sit on the front porch. Drink me a little bit of iced tea. Honey, bring me one of them moon pies. I'm waiting for the blessing of God just to overtake me. And while I'm waiting, I'm going to rest a little bit. And this way some of y'all do in church. Amen. But you're amening at the wrong time. By the time you said that, I said there's devils in the church and pointed right your way and said, amen. Oh my. You see, part of it comes freely from the heavens. Other times, if you find it beneath, you're going to have to dig down. Do you honestly think, friends, these sermons just fall out of the heavens? You think I just go to my computer and I just pick it up and man, there's all these words and there's all these thousands of quotes that I've looked at and all these scriptures and all that. It's just abracadabra, abracadoo, get a sermon out of you and bam, there it is. Dig. Do you want me to keep digging or are y'all just do lovers? And I'm telling you, if you want me to dig, I want you to dig with me. Don't expect me to be a coal miner and y'all be dew lovers. Well, glory. Now God says, I'm going to give you things from above. I'm going to give you things from down beneath. But he don't even tell them what it is. How are they going to know what to look for? All they know is there's deep stuff down in there, but they don't want to even look for. Isn't it amazing that man in the last 15, 20 years has found granite and marble and things that years ago they used to make statues out of and put them in museums and this and that. But now they dig them out of mountains and they polish them and they bring them into your kitchen and into your bathroom for granite countertops. Brought it from the deep heart of the earth or out of the mountains. And you think it just fell in your kitchen? That took a lot of work and a lot of labor. Which do you think is easier to route? A piece of 3/4-inch oak like this right here? Or a piece of granite like that? And you stand there with those diamond-tipped router bits fed with a constant supply of water. And you wear an apron from here down to here, going over and over and over and polishing and polishing and polishing. Which is easier? It's easier just taking up my kids. Well, your sister's building a new house, so remodeling, just ask for a piece of oak. But oak ain't in style, is it? Well, see, shallow preaching about the cross and just the blood and some of them wonderful things, that was in style in the Reformation. But we're in the age of the rock. when the bowels of the earth is opening out, coming into our kitchens, coming into our minds, coming into our hearts, coming into our lives, the very mysteries that's been laying in the heart of the earth. God wants them to be a personal possession to you that people look at it one time, they would marvel. Can you imagine somebody if they'd be able to come back 200, 300 years ago, 500 years ago, and they'd walk in your kitchen and see a slab of granite on there, and they'd go to the bathroom and see another piece of granite, and all they said, my goodness, where did that come from? That's granite, that's marble, that's Triton, this, that, and the other. Wow, how did you do that? We never thought it could be done that way. Why, years ago, we just had it rough cut on the pavement of the streets of Rome, and it was so rough. Yeah, that's exactly the way it used to be. But now we're in the honed age. So you see, you don't want a big old gravel on the top of your countertop, do you? You don't want a big old rough piece of something, but what do you want? Something so slick that when a mosquito comes in, he slides down through there about 40 miles an hour, and when he hits it, he's going 80 on the other end. Why? Because it is so honed down. That's the way the Word is becoming. Oh my, it was rough hewn and cut and chalk and all that sort of thing, but it's so honed and finely polished and rubbed down. What's it to do? Making a real good takeoff pad for you to leave this world. I'm going to give you dew. I'm going to give you mysteries. I'm going to bless your young'uns. I'm going to multiply you. As a matter of fact, the progeny of Joseph, I found this is amazing, by Ephraim and Manasseh, at the first census, in Numbers chapter 1, was 75,900 men, which exceeded the sum of any other tribe and the combination of some two of them even put together. Now, it was not so when the prophecy was given. Now, the light's being changed. But the time it rolled down to Numbers 1, something begins to move. Something begins to happen. And the people become the embodiment of prophecy. You see, part of these things that have laid in the Word of God for years and years and years, that people wonder, oh my, when will we do this and when will we do that? But when it arrives, it ain't nothing theologians can produce. It ain't nothing we can study ourselves into. There's a time in sequence with God. And when God gets ready for it to happen, it's going to happen. Yeah. Amen. Ephraim and Manasseh had grown and multiplied so great. They went to Joshua and said, we need more country. They outgrow their allotment. The attraction had changed. Now, if you still got plenty of growing room, maybe you need to eat more. Maybe you need to eat a little more. Praise the Lord. Notice in verse 26, the blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings above my progenitors. Whoa, Jacob, what are you saying? What are you? Could you have the audacity to make such a statement that you were more blessed than Isaac? That you were more blessed than Abraham?
Uh-oh, here we go.
You do remember that when Isaac moved into the light and when the focus of God began to shine upon Isaac, Abraham was still alive. And when God begins to move and deal with Jacob, Isaac is still alive. But the focus changed. And the attraction changed from Abraham to Isaac. And Abraham was not dead. Now that's really tough. Oh my. And the focus changed from Isaac to Jacob. And Isaac was not dead. Hang on. And the focus changed from Jacob to Joseph. And Jacob is not dead. It takes real men to be able to live through that. It takes real men to be able to get old and to be able to move back and not have such jealousy against young ministers and young preachers and be able to watch God change the glory while they are still yet alive. And them to be able to step back and watch God do it and rejoice because it's going on. Praise the Lord. My, he says, the blessings of thy father. Jacob telling Joseph, the blessings of me have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. God blessed me more than he blessed my daddy Isaac. God blessed me more than he blessed my grandfather Abraham. Well, you better know what you're saying if you're going to make a mouthful like that. But he knew what he was saying. Abraham had two sons. Only one of them got the real blessing from God. Isaac had two. Only one of them. Jacob had 12. And all of them got it. Do the math. Abraham blessed one of them and said, that's all I got. He said, oh, now the rest of you boys here, I'll give you, you know, this and that and the other, but the inheritance goes to the chosen one here. I'm sorry. The left rest of you left out. Then Isaac said, well, it goes to this one here. I'm sorry, but give me a blessing. Give me something. I made him your Lord. I've given him everything. But Jacob come up there and said, we have moved into another dispensation now. We moved into another day. My progenitors had great revelation from God, had a great blessing of God, but what God put on me was even greater. Take your handkerchief out and do this. It helps the breathing, you know, that slows down the heaving and saves you from passing out too. So. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brothers. Wow. On the head of Joseph. I've been blessed by God with more boys, and I've been blessed by God with more blessings to give my boys. Is that putting Abraham down? Is that putting Isaac down? Who done that? God did. God could have told Jacob, you've only got one, pick one, man. I mean, you've only got one, all the rest of them, they ain't going to get nothing. But God said, I am going to superabound what I've done in Abraham. I'm going to superabound what I did in Isaac. I'm going to give you so much word to place upon your inheritance. They'll cover the land. Praise God. Oh my. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brothers. Wow. Notice now how it comes back into choosing and how choosing matches character. Choosing and character renders blessing. He could not have made himself separate now by making himself odd or peculiar. God separated him. He was separate in his father's love. He was separate in God's acclaim. He was separate in his walk. He was separate even by his own brothers looking at him, and they did not feel the same about him that they felt about others. And with this, he bore this burden. Oh, friends, I'll tell you, people are jealous of a man with this ministry and this ministry and this church and that church. Oh, if you only knew what went with some of the brothers. Oh, my goodness, me being personal friends with some of the great men of God in this day, and people are jealous of them. They think, boy, I wish I had this, and I wish that was that and the other. And I'm saying, if you only knew what they went through. If you only knew what they went through to bear it, can they make themselves that way? Can they make themselves to be this or that? It is God that does it. But if God separates a man for a particular ministry and God gives him the ability to do it, God will turn right around and reward that man, and he may reward him above his brothers. Why? God caused him to go through more than his brothers. Can we honestly think we deserve the same reward as Paul? deserve the reward of Peter. We deserve the reward of Brother Branham. When the voice told him, a huge portion of heaven awaits thee. Is heaven meted out in acres? What do you mean Brother Branham's going to have more land than the rest of us? What was his greatest desire? To build a Branham University? To have a highway named after him, Branham-Burksville? To have a people of God that would have such a relationship with God in their hearts and their lives? Wonder what huge portion of heaven will await. Let me see if I can find a place to close. Back to Moses, Deuteronomy 33:13. And of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep that coucheth beneath. Blessed of the Lord be his land, for the dew and for the deep that coucheth beneath. And remember what Jacob said in Genesis 27:28. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth, plenty of corn and wine. Hosea 14:5. I will be as the dew unto Israel. And he shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. Us living here, dew ain't that big of a deal to us. It's because of the climate we're in where we get so much rain. But if you lived in these semi-nomadic places where they had hardly arid places and dry and they didn't hardly have any rain at all, dew was a big thing. Praise the Lord. You know, I think spiritually we begin to look out and realize years ago, boy, you could get up a guitar and hit the chord of G and people shot the shoe heels off. Now you can hit G and Y and D and F and C and X and O and 1 and 3 and 4 and minors and diminished and augmented chords and everything. Let's stand there and look at you. What is it? We're in due time. We're in due time. Preach all you want. Preachers are preaching now with the word. Things that if it had been preached 40, 50 years ago, the rapture would have took place then. But the struggles are harder now. The battles are harder now. And people stand there and they look at him. My, what is it? Do. Do. But remember, he will give the dew in its proper season. Amen. Micah 5:7. The remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people as a dew from the Lord. The remnant of Jacob shall be as the dew from the Lord. Oh, it fell down, did it? As the dew from the Lord. As the showers upon the grass that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth nor the sons of man. Joseph, he says, Moses, blessed of the Lord shall be his land and the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep that coucheth beneath. Look in St. John 7:38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Verse 14, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun and the precious things put forth by the moon. Let's stand. We've got too much to try to go into it any farther. Let me just read you this. The gravitation of the passing moon pulls the nearest body of water a little away from the solid mass of the earth beneath it. At the same time, it pulls the earth a little away from the water on the farthest side. So the moon on this side of the earth pulls the water. What's the way it does it? The gravitation pulls the nearest body of water a little away from the solid mass of the earth beneath it. And at the same time, pulls the earth a little away from the water on the farthest side. You mean the moon does that? So the moon standing here upon the earth, and it goes to pulling on the water, and it pulls the water on this side facing the moon. It pulls the water away from the earth. And on the other side of the earth, it pulls the earth away from the water. Y'all do believe the earth ain't flat, right? So here it is, it's like this. You ever looked at Africa and Brazil and Ecuador and some of those places? They're hanging down here on this bottom side. And sometimes you're down here. But do you feel like you are? What keeps you from falling off? What keeps you attached to this earth? Gravitation. The magnetic pull inside of you. What keeps the ocean? Water weighing 7.48 pounds a gallon. Can you imagine the tons and tons and tons of weight on the water? What keeps it from falling off? God's order. And yet when the moon pulls around on the average of 238,000 miles from the earth, and yet when it gets up there, it's invisible union. Invisible magnetic pull. Begins to pull on that water, and it actually pulls it up, and the tides will begin to respond. And the power goes plumb through the core of the earth, being almost 25,000 miles around, goes plumb on the other side and pulls on the earth. And it'll go... Something keeps holding me. What does it? The moon. And yet it'll turn right back around. And it'll come right back and the earth will go, whoop. Did you feel that? Did you feel it? How in the world can I be standing out here on the earth like this, in this circle, and I'm standing out like this? I mean, not dizzy-headed. I can't even hardly push my grandbabies in a swing back and forth a half a dozen times without getting sick to my stomach. I got it bad. That's the truth. That's not exaggeration. And yet we're standing out here in space. How can we stand like this? God's great order. Do you realize when Darwin went to Galapagos and he began to look at the things that was there at the age of, 23, 26, something like that? One of the things that was so notable to Darwin was the finches on Galapagos. Because he noticed finches there, their beaks developed in a different way than anywhere else on the earth. And the captain who took him there to those islands and other islands on his 5-year journey. And Darwin went, basically pretty much convinced it wasn't a god, come back, definitely convinced it wasn't. But the captain of the ship, who was on the same journey, who saw the same birds, who saw the same fish, stood against Darwinism for years and years afterwards. He was convinced there was a God when he went, convinced when he come back. Amen. As a matter of fact, he was more convinced. Amen. Isn't it amazing that two people can look at exactly the same thing and come away with different ideas? Amen. And what they noticed was that whenever the birds would change or the crops would change on Galapagos, that the birds' beaks would change. Some was real wide and some was real long. Some would pick up an acorn and they would dig a hole in a tree and they'd take that acorn and bury it in the tree. Their beak was totally a different type of beak than another finch. And that they brought those finches back to England and compared to this and they'd never seen nothing like it. And then they'd make a record of them and say them same finches that had this wide beak up here initially, whenever the diet would change because of the weather and whatever on the islands, the beak of the finches would change as well. And he comes up with the idea of evolution. You know what I hear whenever I hear that? I hear the grace of God. Amen. You know what I hear whenever I see that the earth is made stood up like this, exact in the perfection, and God made the earth where it could tilt on 22 and a half degree axis and be able to tilt away that far from the original program of God and not fall out and destroy itself. It was built in the fall. Tell me how the animals that was herbivores could be changed to be meat eaters. How could they do it? God made it in them in the beginning where they would be able to go the same way with you. When God made man in the beginning, he was not made sick. He was not made totally disease free. But God made the human being so the human being as the earth would tilt 22 and a half degrees so the human being would be able to fall and still be able to fight off disease. Hallelujah. God made you where you can soar with eagles. God made you where you can sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And God made you where you can walk down the valley so low that it seemed like you can never get out. You're built in it. It's built in you to walk on the mountains. It's built in you to be in them low places and built in you to overcome. Amen. The same forces that affect the water content of the soil, creating more moisture in the soil at the time of the new and the full moon. This increased moisture encourages seeds to sprout and grow in the full moon. Dr. Frank Brown of Northwestern University performed research over a 10-year period of time, keeping meticulous records of his results. He found that plants absorbed more water at the time of the full moon. Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, full moon, we need more water. And we have the ability to absorb more. Let me close. You love him. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. John Chavons, the author of How to Grow More Vegetables, adds the influence of the increasing or decreasing moonlight on the growth of plants. When the moon is in its waxing phases, the increasing amount of moonlight stimulates leaf growth. As the moonlight decreases, the above ground leaf growth slows down, and the root is stimulated again. So different phases that the church goes through affects the church. Different trials, different things we go through, it affects your growth. Some parts of you grow in one cycle that the church is going through, and then other parts of you grow in different cycles that the church goes through. Brother Darrell, come dismiss us before I preach again. You love him, saints.
Wow. Amen. Isn't God good to us? When more revelation comes forth to a people that's able to receive it. The promised word, the prophecies, becoming flesh in us. Isn't that wonderful? That the Word is becoming flesh and the flesh is becoming Word in you, in me. When you see me, you see my Father, for I and my Father are one. What a privilege it is to be a Christian. Amen. So appreciate y'all praying for us, and just really had a few days rough there with our back, and God was so gracious to us. Just come by and touch us. Like, yeah, we had a wonderful service and had a prayer line that night, and just the Lord just came down and did some wonderful things, and we just appreciate you praying for us. And no place like home. Amen. Wouldn't it be wonderful we all gather in at Daddy's house and won't have to study war no more, Brother Terry? And wouldn't it be a wonderful time just to gather in at Daddy's house? And you know, I believe, if I remember right, the prophet said that we'll be learning of Christ throughout the ages, or throughout eternity, actually is how he said it. And you know, we think of the things that the Brother Donnie's been bringing in just the last year, and yet there's so much more. There's so much more. What a privileged people we are tonight. And may God richly bless you. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, there is none like you, Lord. We are so grateful to be your children, dear God, knowing that we do not serve a God of stone or a God of wood or a God of our imagination, but the God who hung the moon and the stars. You're our God, Lord. There's none like you, Father. That you, from your innermost depths of your being, we bring out these things, Lord, and share with us that we may be partakers of your glory, Lord. Father, we thank you for that tonight. We thank you for the word that we've heard, and Lord, that we have the ability, because you built us for this age, to be able to absorb this into our beings, Lord, that we may express it back, Lord, knowing, as Jesus said, John was that great light, but what put John's light out? It was in you come, Lord. Father, we see that the light in this end time, the evening light, Lord, more than just a quote, but actually a people on the earth who is manifesting that evening light, Lord. We are the evening light in an hour of darkness, Lord. Father, may we let our little light shine, I pray.
bless your children, Lord. Those that are sick and afflicted, Lord, going through difficulties. May the great healing touch of Jehovah just move up on them now, Lord. We pray and touch them, Father. And as we go, Lord, may we meditate upon the things that we've heard, Lord, until it becomes a reality in our lives. And bless Brother Donnie, Lord. Strengthen him and restore his strength to him, Lord. Bring him back this weekend, Lord, locked and loaded and ready to go again. Father, we come, Lord, ready to receive again. Thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord, and for all that you've given us, and for the opportunity that we have to serve you, Lord. We're just so grateful for it, Father. We humbly ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God richly bless you. Amen. Let's sing that song, Brother Harry. There is none like you. Amen. Can we just worship him just for a minute as we... Amen.
There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you.
Oh, hallelujah.
There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I can search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. There is none like you. My heart like you do. I can search for all eternity long. There is none like you. There is none like you. My heart like you do. I can search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. There is none like you.
Hallelujah.
No,
you're our joy, you're our peace, you're our comfort, Lord. You're our shield, you're our buckler, Lord. You're our bridegroom, you're our prince, you're our great physician, Lord. How we love you tonight, Lord. How we worship you, Lord Jesus.
There is none like you.
Hallelujah.
There is none like you. Touch my heart like you do. I can search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. There is none like you. A heart like you do. I can search for all eternity long awesome. He's awesome. Awesome. He is awesome. My God is awesome. He is awesome. Awesome. God is awesome. He is awesome. 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 My God is awesome. He can move a mountain in the valley. My God is awesome. Heals me when I'm broken. My God is awesome. He's awesome. 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 Mountain, keep me in the valley, hide me from the rain. My God is awesome, heals me when I'm broken, gives strength when I've been weakened, forever He will reign. My God is awesome. He is awesome. He is awesome. My God is awesome. Oh, awesome. 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 My God is awesome. The Savior of the whole. Giver of salvation, by His stripes I am healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. I praise His holy name. My God is awesome. He is awesome. Yes, He's awesome. Awesome. He is awesome. My God is awesome. Savior of the whole world. Giver of salvation. By His stripes I'm healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. I praise His holy name. My God is awesome. He is awesome. He is awesome. Oh, awesome. My God is awesome. I know He's awesome. Awesome. My God is awesome. My God is awesome. My God is awesome. Yes, He's awesome. My God is awesome. Awesome. Awesome.
my God is awesome. What a mighty God Jesus is. Oh, what a mighty God my Jesus is. Heaven and earth adore Him. We love to bow before Him and say, what a mighty God Jesus is. Oh, what a mighty God Jesus is. What a mighty God Jesus is. Heaven and earth adore Him. We love to bow before Him. What a mighty God Jesus is. Oh, what a mighty God Jesus is. What a mighty God my Jesus is. What a mighty God my Jesus is. To bow before Him. What a mighty God Jesus is. What a mighty God Jesus is. Oh, what a mighty God my Jesus is. Heaven and earth adore Him. We love to bow before Him. What a mighty God Jesus is.
Lord Jesus. Oh, what a mighty God. What a friend we have in Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's our joy. He's our peace. He's our shield. He's our buckler. He's our helmet. Hallelujah. He's our comfort. He's our bridegroom. He's our friend. He's our physician. He's the rising of our sun. He's the dew upon our hearts. The rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. There is none like Him. If we had 10,000 tongues, we could not praise You enough, Lord. For Thou art worthy, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, that You would seal these things up, Lord. To the end time, that You would make it known to a people, Lord, who has able been built by the Word to absorb the Word into their hearts, dear God, to express it back upon the earth, Lord. That Your desire, Lord, as I heard the prophet say the other day, that God condescending down to get into me to help someone else and to get into them to help me. And that's been Your desire, Lord. that you could come down and fellowship with us. As the prophet said, fellowship is two fellows in the same ship. We thank you for it tonight, Lord. We thank you for the service, Lord, for each life, Lord, that was touched by your word tonight. Father, as we dismiss, Lord, from each other's company, may we never dismiss from your presence, Lord. Go with us as we make our way home. Watch over us on the highways, Lord. And though that was in the accident today out on 26, Lord, be merciful to the family tonight, Lord. I don't even know the needs. Just know it was a bad wreck, Father. But God, comfort their hearts tonight, Lord. I just ask you, Lord, humbly, Lord, the needs of my brothers and my sisters, Father. May you just pass by them, Lord. By the rising of the sun, Lord, may the need be gone, Father. May the symptom be gone. And may there just be praise on their lips, Father. Lord, this is the hour of the manifestation of the third pool, Lord. This is the hour, Lord, that the limbs would be restored, Father. The eyes would see again, legs would work, Father. Bodies would be changed, Lord. We believe you for it, Father. We thank you for it tonight, Lord. Go with us now, Lord. And once again, strengthen Brother Donnie. Thank you for the wonderful word that we heard, Lord. It's committed into your hands tonight for your glory. For we humbly ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you, saints. You're dismissed tonight in the fear of the Lord. Amen.
Oh, Jesus, draw me closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me to worship that holy Jesus, draw me closer, Lord, to you. Let this world
Draw.